Welcome. We're so happy that everyone here has decided to share their Saturday afternoon to hear about the prayer that heals. Myrtle Smith from Belfast, Northern Ireland, has led a rich and varied life as a wife, mother, Christian Science practitioner, prison chaplain, writer, and lecturer. Today, she'll share some of her precious examples of how the Christ is made practical in bringing healing into our own experiences. The prayer that heals. Let's welcome Myrtle Smith.
So what do you think it was that drew people to the Master? He healed their problems. He showed them there was a way out. He showed them there was a solution. But most of all, he showed them that it was not the will of God for anybody to suffer. When I came into Christian Science many, many years ago, I thought I'll never have another problem in this world. Because Christian Science has the answer to it all, and it's all so simple. But you know, it's like the faster you go up the motorway, the more dirt comes up around your car. And that's the way it is, even in Christian Science. As you grow spiritward, it seems sometimes like you get more difficult problems to work out. Just the same as if you were learning maths in school. You start out with the simple sums, and then you go on to bigger ones. And that's the way it is in Christian Science. But there was a time in Northern Ireland when our troubles were very bad, and I also had a violent marriage. And every day we were having terrible bombings and people being killed and so forth. And we lived in an area that was right in the middle of all these problems. And we had tried to sell our house because I really felt that this was no place to bring children up in. And because of where the house was situated, it wouldn't sell. And one day I was in the house alone, and 13 bombs went off in the space of 1 hour. I heard one, and then two, and then three. And when it got to number four, my house shook. And some of the windows broke. And I began to wonder if I should go up to the school that my children attended to see if they were okay, because it wasn't too far away. And I went out to the door, and I opened the door, and people were running everywhere. There were sirens going, fire brigades, and people panicking. The bombs were still going off, and people didn't seem to know where to run to. And I remember that a woman passed my door and looked at me, and I remember thinking that I'd never seen such a war-weary, hopeless look before. And I came into my house, and I was frightened, and I was crying, and I was angry. And after a while, I thought, you know, I am a Christian Scientist, and I'm supposed to know better how to pray. And yet I felt that my prayers were not having much effect. And the Christian Science Monitor, we get the international edition. This was a Friday, and the monitor had been on my table since Monday, unopened. And I decided to try to calm myself and to have a look at the monitor. And I went through about the first six pages, and I noticed that I had visited eight different countries, and that their problems were not very different to mine. And at that particular moment, I was thinking, if God could answer my prayer at this moment, what would I say to him? I would say, dear God, take me and my children on a big plane and drop us off at some nice, peaceful place. But when I looked at the monitor, I thought, well, you know, God might have a hard time because there aren't that many peaceful places left in the world. So I began to reason with this, is the answer to get up and run away. And I began to see, no, I need to learn how to pray more effectively. I need the prayer that heals. So I opened the Christian Science textbook on the chapter on prayer. And I read what Mrs. Eddy said there, that we have to go into our closet and silence the material senses. But then she said, our Master gave us one brief prayer, which we name after him the Lord's Prayer. And she said that that prayer was adequate to meet all human needs. She didn't say some human needs. She said all human needs. So I opened the Bible and I read the Lord's Prayer. I read where the disciples said to the Master, teach us to pray. Because they were saying, boy, his prayers sure get answered. And they were saying to him, teach us to pray like that. And he only gave them one brief prayer, the Lord's Prayer. So the Master must have thought that that prayer was enough to meet all human needs. Now, Mrs. Eddy in the textbook gives us her beautiful interpretation of the Lord's Prayer, which I love. But that day, I felt I need to understand the Lord's Prayer a lot better. I need to understand how to apply it to this particular problem. 13 bombs going off in the space of an hour. Many people killed, many people maimed, many people left without homes and businesses. How do you apply the Lord's Prayer to that? So I began to pray with the Lord's Prayer something like this. Our Father. And when I said Our Father, I pictured a big round O for Our Father. And I knew that that included everybody and everything. It didn't say anything about Catholic or Protestant. It said Our Father, the Father of us all. It included all the people who had just died in this bombing. And I knew that many people would have. So I knew that Our Father was still their Father. That he did not see his children as dead. He saw man as he made him, spiritual and whole and perfect, the expression of life eternal. And that's how these people were. I thought about the injured people and the people who had to deal with them, the doctors and the nurses in the hospitals. Our Father was their Father, and he was taking care of their every need. And then I began to think about the security forces who had a nasty job to do that day, to go out and pick up the pieces. And I knew that Our Father was their Father, and that he would meet their need. I thought about the government and how they had to make big decisions and quick decisions on a day like this. And I knew that Our Father would meet their need. I thought about all the relatives of the people who had been killed or injured. And I knew that Our Father was also our mother, and that he would comfort them and he would meet their need right where they were. I thought about the ministers and the priests who had to go out and somehow try to comfort their own flock. And I knew that our Father would take care of that too. And then I came to the IRA. And I thought about that big round O. And I said to myself, well, I'm not going to include them in that. At that moment, I really felt I couldn't. How could you pray for people who deliberately went out and planted these bombs? But you know, God, he never lets us away with anything. So I escaped for a moment, but I had to come back to it. Our Father, which art in heaven, When I prayed, which art in heaven, I thought, what does that mean? Does that mean that heaven is a beautiful city up in the sky, whose streets are paved with gold, and there's no sickness and no disease? Because if that were true, we should all die and go there. We'd be better off. But I began to think, what is heaven? It's a state of consciousness, a state of being at peace and undisturbed by anything that's going on in this world, or by anything that's going on in a material body or in your life. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father dwells in heaven eternally, not just for a moment. He cannot be disturbed by wars and bombs and killings and maimings and disease and old age and death. He's undisturbed by it. He doesn't see it. So I began to think, our Father which art in heaven. So it's not so much that God's down here on earth comforting us, but that we are one with him, so we are in heaven right now. So I lifted myself and all the people in my country up into heaven to know that we're in heaven too. We're in a state of consciousness that cannot be disturbed by anything that appears to be going on in this world. Our Father, which art in heaven, because he's in heaven, we're in heaven too. That's where each and every one of you are this instant, in the kingdom of heaven, at peace, undisturbed by anything or anyone. Hallowed be thy name. When I prayed that, I thought, well, God's name is hallowed, and that means revered, respected, honored, adored. And if that is God's name, and it is, then that's the name of all his children. So his children's name isn't Catholic or Protestant or black or white. The name of each child of God is hallowed be thy name. And I saw that I had to respect my brother's name. His name was hallowed. Thy kingdom come. Here I prayed that God would help us to see his kingdom right here, where we saw a part of the United Kingdom that was involved in a war. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Here I prayed that God's will would be done here in Ireland as it is in heaven, that it would be seen to be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Here I pray that God would feed us with fresh inspiration, with hope, with faith. Give us this day our daily bread. Feed us, Father, because we needed feeding. We needed fresh inspiration. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Now, when I got to that bit, I said, my Father, you don't mean that. You have slipped up. You couldn't possibly be telling us to forgive the IRA, to forgive people who committed these atrocious murders. But I went on to read that the Master said, love your enemies, bless those that persecute you and despitefully use you. And then he went on to say that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. I suddenly saw I had no choice. If I want to be the child of my Father which is in heaven, and I do, then I have to forgive everybody, because I cannot make my own demonstration until I do. And then I began to see that if I prayed for them and I asked God to bless them, I was opening a door to their healing. But if I said, there's no way I'm going to pray for them, the door was closed. They had become hopeless. And who else was going to pray for them? So I found that I was able to pray for them and felt a great sense of peace. I asked God that He would forgive them and that He would show them a better way. I knew that they believed that a united Ireland was their goal in life, and that they could use any methods they wanted to get that.